Hello and welcome to Europe in My Backyard. So I'm Paula Wiseman, and over the course of this series, we're going to be hearing about the many ways in which the European cohesion policy impacts on our daily lives. So today I'm going to be chatting with Maria Walsh, the Director of Branding, Communications and FET Strategy Implementation at Solus. And then later I'll be chatting with Louise Cole, the coordinator at Youth Reach Bray and Wicklow. So now, hopefully, I should be joined on the phone by Maria Walsh. Hi Maria, how are you?
Hi Paula, how are you? Nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
Good. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. Okay, so Solus. I mean, everyone's kind of heard of it. Everyone knows of the name. But can you tell us exactly what Solus are and what you do as an organisation?
Sure thing, absolutely. So we are the Further Education and Training Authority in Ireland. So our role basically is to research, plan, fund and coordinate further education and training across the country. And I guess one of the first questions I'm always asked is, what is further education and training? And I suppose there's no straight answer to that, Paula. And the reason for that is because it just encompasses such a range of different types of education provision.
Yeah.
Every year in Ireland, there's over 200,000 unique further education and training learners, and that's across a whole suite of programmes. So courses, say, for example, for school leavers, including post-leaving cert courses and traineeships and apprenticeships, courses for those looking to upskill or reskill, courses in the areas of literacy, numeracy and digital literacy, courses for the unemployed, and courses for early school leavers. And all of these courses are delivered through our partners, the 16 education and training boards nationwide. And I suppose what's probably unique about further education and training, or FET as we like to call it, is that it is for everyone. So it's available in every community in Ireland, and it offers every individual, regardless of any previous level of education, a pathway to take them as far as they want to go. And I guess where the EU comes into that is that it funds certain parts of FET provision. So our youth reach programmes, community training programmes, traineeships, adult literacy and the Back to Education initiative. And I guess, you know, the European Social Fund is the EU's key instrument for investing in people, focusing on improving employment and education opportunities, as well as enhancing social inclusion and tackling poverty. And that is very much aligned to what we do within the further education and training sector. So that's the kind of quickish version of it. I could go on.
Yeah. I mean, does Solus, so you distribute the funding, or how does it work?
We do, and I suppose, look, Solus is a relatively new organisation. It kind of came into being in 2013, and at the time of it coming into being, you know, we had kind of VECs that were merging into education and training boards, and we had, you know, the dissolution of FOSS, and the sector, because it covers so much, you know, there was no, I suppose, overall strategy for the further education and training sector. So what Solus, when it came into being, it was very much about trying to bring that focus and shape to it, and kind of trying, I suppose, to get the arms around exactly what the sector does, and to develop a strategy to drive that sector forward. So our most recent strategy, it was the second one since we came into being, was launched in 2020, and that's all about kind of transforming learning. So it's future FET transforming learning. So it's taking the really good work that's been done over the previous 5 years and building on that and building the sector to be responsive to the needs of learners.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, like, you know, this funding is for you must get so many people, you know, obviously needing the money for, you know, whatever training they need. I mean, how is it decided who gets an allocation of the money?
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, there are, I suppose, I think we have over, I think it's 20 different types of programmes.
Yeah.
And there are programmes that will be running every year. So apprenticeship, for an example, is one that is kind of a big programme that runs every year, post-leaving cert courses as well. And then programmes like Youth Reach, for example, which is funded through the EU. And that will be, you know, I think we have quite a number of centres. Sorry, I think it's over 100 centres across the country. And we would have learners then going into that every year. I think there's about 7,000 to 7,500 students doing a Youth Reach course every year. So the way the funding works, that the ETBs every year will look at, you know, the kind of the year ahead, the programs that they have, and they'll plan based on kind of different government policy, research that would be available, you know, about kind of skills shortages and skills needs, and they submit a plan every year to Solus and say, this is the type of fund or the type of programs and the type of provision we're going to deliver this year, and then the funding is allocated on the basis of that. And then you'd have other things that are coming up through the year. So say, for example, last year that, you know, we would have had a lot of programs kind of moving to online in response to COVID-19. We have a huge kind of focus at the moment on green skills and green skills programs. So, you know, there'll be funding made available for very specific types of kind of policy.
Yeah, I suppose obviously technology, you know, you're having to keep up with technology and the world moving, you know, moving as quickly as it is. I mean, it must be, you know, it's a job and a half to keep track of everything.
It absolutely is. Now, we're very, very lucky, I thought, and this again, I suppose, is part of what was good about bringing the further education training sector together. What we have been able to do is to get really, really good data around kind of the skills needs of our learners. So learners, when they're coming into the further education and training sector, where their skill sets are at and what their skills needs are. And that, in turn, is able to help us to kind of plan provision to meet those requirements. We also have the Skills and Labour Market Research Unit in Sulis. So what they're doing all the time is they're looking at the labour markets, they're looking at kind of where there might be skill shortages. Yeah. So for example, the hospitality at the sector at the moment, we know there's huge shortages there, but they would really drill down to say, okay, there is a shortage in the hospitality sector, what are the skill sets that are needed? And then we bring that to the education and training boards, and they're able to plan their provision around to deliver the training that's needed in order to kind of fulfil to fill the roles that are available in that sector.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? You know, as a lay person, you know, that probably uses, so you know, does some of these training courses and things, you don't realise all the stuff that's going on in the background and how this money is, you know, how this money's moving around and being allocated to help people do all these different things. It's a big machine.
It is a big machine, and I think probably, as I was saying earlier on, what's kind of unique as well is, you know, making sure that there is something available for every learner that comes in the door. So not everybody that comes in the door is maybe necessarily ready to do an upskilling course to go straight into work. They might be coming back into the, you know, coming back to education after like a long period of absence. So they might need kind of some initial training, you know, back to education training, kind of career planning, all of that. And often what we would have with learners that come in through FET is they might start at one course and progress through to a second or third course, you know, and sometimes we would have learners as well that may move from the further education sector on into the higher education sector. So it's really very focused around learner needs and what those needs are. You know, another example is last year we launched a 10-year strategy for literacy, numeracy and digital literacy. You know, so we know that there are, you know, really big needs out there in terms of training in this space. We know that kind of almost 1 in 5 adults struggle with reading and understanding everyday text, and that is a big part of what the further education and training sector does as well, that provision there for people that they, you know, if they want to engage and want to kind of get those skills, that service is available for them.
Yeah, I mean, it covers a huge demographic as well, doesn't it? It's not, you're not just covering, you know, like, you know, as we kind of think of it, people in their late teens, 20s. I mean, I myself have availed of the Back to Education grant system. It's just such an amazing thing to have in place, you know, to help people if they want to go back to education or, you know, or retrain even.
Absolutely, you know, and we do, as you say, we take everything from early school leavers right up to retirees.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an amazing part of, you know, and it is government funded. It's all government funded. So, you know, it's a great service that's available for the citizens of Ireland. I think sometimes perhaps maybe people don't realise that it's there for them, you know, and the fact that it's, you know, available so locally as well. You know, I always cite the example of, you know, I live in Bray in County Wicklow, and I can see, you know, all the different centres that are available for all the different types of learners. You know, we have a big PLC college here, we've got an adult literacy centre, we've got a national learning network. So there really is so much for everybody in the community, and it is available, as I said, for every citizen.
I mean, how important do you think this, the EU funding as a whole, is for us in Ireland?
Oh, I think it's hugely important. And again, I think it's one of these areas that, you know, may not necessarily be seen. And it's part of my job, really, is to make sure that we're, you know, talking about the EU funding and the funding that we get. I mean, I think what it does is it's very much aligned to policy. So, you know, we have, we just had the you know, the programme for employability, inclusion and learning. And that was over, I think, 2014 to 2020. And the investment from that was, you know, it was over $1 billion. And, but it's very much focused on kind of very particular policy areas. So youth unemployment, for example, you know, that's somewhere where funding will be very much funneled and available. And that's hugely important on the ground then for making sure that we can have this type of provision available for learners. So, you know, Youth Reach is, for an example, one of the programs that was funded through that. And Youth Reach is one of the, and I know you'll be talking to about Youth Reach again later on in the show. But I mean, Youth Reach is, you know, that real second chance education for early school leavers. So if you have a student who just that mainstream education wasn't for them, you know, what Youth Reach offers them is absolutely incredible. It gives them that second chance. It's smaller classrooms, it's much more hands-on, it's working in a really flexible way with the individuals to get the very best out of them and to get the best out of their education journey. And none of that would be possible without the EU funding.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. You know, and as we said, people just don't know, people don't realise there's this, you know, these all these different funds that are basically, you know, providing education and training and, you know, all these different services for people across Europe.
And you know, I think it sometimes we always say it ourselves in Sulis that it's not about the program title. It's really about the program that's right for the individual.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's about making making sure they know that, you know, being part of the EU and the EU funding that we get is what makes it possible.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today, Maria. It's been really an educational speaking to you today.
Absolutely. Listen, it was great to talk to you and thanks very much for having us on.
No worries. All right. Cheers, Maria. Talk to you soon.
Cheers then.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Europe in my backyard.
L'Europa in casa nostra.
Europa in mi casa.
Un'inchiesta radiofonica sulla politica di coesione europea.
Radijsko poročanje o evropski kohezijski politiki.
Europe in my backyard.
Radio reporting.
Un'inchiesta.
Radio reportage.
Un spazio radiofonico sobre la politica europea de coesión.
Az európai kohéziós politika nyomában.
Radio reporting.
Radio reportagen
on European cohesion policy.
Über die europäische Kohäsionspolitik.
So today I am lucky enough to be chatting with Louise Cole. She's the coordinator for Bray and North Wicklow Youth Reach. So hi Louise, how are you?
Hi Paula, how's things?
Not too bad. Thanks for joining me today.
You're
so
very welcome.
Do you want to maybe start off by telling us about Youth Reach? Can you tell us a little bit about the work you do as an organisation?
Absolutely. We're around well over 30 years now. But actually, it's one of those programmes, and maybe you'll probably understand a bit more now in a minute when I explain about it. One of those programmes that really, until you need to know it exists, often people don't actually. But part of our role as, you know, as an organisation and as an education programme in the country is to make sure that everybody does know we're there, because you never know when you're going to need us. So essentially, Youth Reach is a programme of education for young people who are out of mainstream school. So the kind of the accepted European term, if you like, is second chance education. We don't really call it that here in Ireland, but that's kind of the official term for it. But really what it is kind of it's an alternative programme of education or a parallel pathway to second level schools. So it's for young people who are aged between 15 and 20, who, like I said, are out of mainstream schools. So in order to be able to come to us, they can't have completed their Leaving Cert. Okay. So if they've completed their Leaving Cert, then they need to move on to something else. If they haven't completed their Leaving Cert, so if they were either still in school and just haven't got to that stage yet, or indeed if they finished school early and hadn't completed their upper second level, so their Leaving Cert, they can come to a Youth Reach Centre. And when they're with us, they're on a full-time education programme. So we are designated centres of education. They're on a full-time education programme with us, and they will be studying at various different levels, depending on the centre. So most of our centres will offer Education programs at level 3 and level 4. Some will be a little lower as well, some will go a little higher, but level 3 and level 4 on the national framework. So that's essentially your equivalent of Junior Cert and Leaving Cert. And in fact, some of our centres do offer Mainstream Junior Cert, Leaving Cert Applied, or the Mainstream Leaving Cert. And then a lot of centres, our own included, and certainly in our area, we all operate under QQI. So we offer QQI programmes of learning at primarily at level 3 and level 4. But like I said, we are a full-time education programme for young people who are out of mainstream school and for whom really, I suppose, Youth Reach would be considered a very kind of needs-based programme, very learner-centred. And we're there for them for when school hasn't worked for whatever reason to support them in their education.
Yeah, so I mean, what sort of things would they be doing on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I suppose what's really important is, you know, there's not much point in us being mini schools, okay? Because learners are out of schools for a reason, right? So the way we always explain it, I suppose, is that every young person who comes to us is coming with a story, okay? So they have their own story. They could be out of school for a million and one reasons. They could be out of school because they struggled academically. And, you know, I mean, we have fabulous schools in Ireland. We're very lucky. But, you know, so it's never a case that the schools have done anything wrong. You know, it's often more a case that, say, a young person just doesn't quite fit in the system. And usually we'll find, despite the school's best efforts, and for the most part, schools will put in fantastic effort to hold on to a young person, to help them complete their mainstream education. But sometimes that just doesn't quite happen, you know. So, you know, so they'll be with us basically, like I said, but sorry, but I was going off track there. Essentially, there's not much point in us being mini schools. So really we are offering them their full-time education, but in a different environment. So Youth Reach sits in this kind of funny place. So like I said, we're working with school age. So we're working with young people age 15 to 20.
Yeah.
But we operate as further education programs. So we come under SULIS as well as the department, and obviously we're funded by the European Social Fund, by the ESF, but we operate in more of an adult education way, so a further education way. So, you know, that in itself is already going to be very different from a school environment. Like even straightforward things, like we don't do homework in our centres, for example. Everything happens in the centre. Everything is done as continuous assessment. Cool. For the most part. Like obviously if a centre is delivering Leaving Cert Applied or Leaving Cert, they're more, that they're going to have to be a bit more structured in terms of how the curriculum is delivered. But you know, that's not to say QQI, for example, isn't very structured. It is, but there's a bit more flexibility there. But for the most part, then all of the work happens in the centre, kind of in a small supported environment. So classes tend to be tiny, and not just because of COVID, actually. So COVID meant that yes, we had to have very small groups and very, very small pods, but we've always had really small classes in Youth Reach because we want to be able to give each learner the attention that they need. You could have two young people in a class, one of whom has always struggled, say, even with basic literacy and numeracy, you know, has lots of issues around their academic ability, and that really caused them loads of problems in school, and so they need to be with us for that reason. In the same room, you could have a young person who has absolutely no issues academically. You know, they would be flying it in school, but they might have something else that has had, that has caused them to need to be in a different environment. It could be social anxiety, for example. It could be, you know, a mental health issue. Mm. They might have been really badly bullied in school. Yeah. It could be some other completely different reason. And our teachers will need to be able to work with both of those learners in the same room. So, you know, they're going to be able to provide them with kind of very much a needs-based education program, you know, and it's still, you know, very structured, a lot of routine. Our days tend to be very, so there are a few bits that are similar to schools, you know, our days tend to be the same length, like we operate from 9 to 4. So the same length as the school. Our classes, for the most part, would tend to be the same length. You know, they might be 45 minutes in one centre, an hour in another centre. But again, equally, schools can vary with the length of the class. You know, they'll have a couple of breaks during the day. So there are a few things that are similar. But in terms of the approach and how we work with our learners, it's very much about being learner-centred, meeting them where they're at and providing them with the supports around their education that's going to get them the best outcome, basically.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the way that you're funded. So you're funded through the ESF. So what has funding meant to the project? I mean, could you run without the funding?
No, we couldn't. I mean, so Youth Reach obviously is jointly funded between Government of Ireland and the ESF. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but what it's meant, like, so Youth Reach essentially was first established back in 1980. 88 for centres opened in 1989.
Yeah.
You know, and like the European Social Fund is around well over 60 years. So Youth Reach is a very well embedded programme within yeah. that funding structure. So it has meant that as a programme, it's kept it going, you know. I mean, there will be an absolute acceptance now, you know, and I say now actually quite purposefully. So, you know, Youth Reach was kind of always a little bit second fiddle is a terrible term, but I can't think of a better one. But, you know, just I suppose not particularly well understood within government included, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
That's totally changed now, you know, in the last, I'd probably say certainly in the last 10 years and even more so in the last couple of years, because of course we're now under our new department. We've our own minister, we've Minister Simon Harris, who to be fair has done a huge amount of work to understand the programme already since he took up office. And, you know, and prior to that, there would have been an awful lot more work done just to understand the importance and the value of the programme. So like Youth Reach, for example, would have been evaluated as part of a national evaluation scheme a number of years ago and would have come out very strong. It was a really good opportunity, I suppose, for the programme as a whole to be able to show that through the support of the ESF funding and through the fact that it's so well established now as a programme, both in Ireland and in fact on a European stage, that it really is very effective, you know, and that it supports the most vulnerable of our learners in communities in Ireland and continues to do so, you know. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, back to the funding, really, it's meant that as a programme, it's always been supported
yeah.
and, you know, has been able to offer on average somewhere anywhere between 3,000 and 4,000 young people per year
wow.
an opportunity to continue in their education that they wouldn't have otherwise had, you know. So I think that's really important to acknowledge.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a key system, isn't it? Got people that will be going into the workforce. So what happens at the end? Do they get a certification or how does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So like I said, I mean, I'll talk to our own centres. So our own centres in our ETB. So we're Kildare and Wicklow. We pretty much all operate under QQI. And then we'd have lots of centres in neighbouring ETBs who say also do QQI or maybe do Leaving Cert Applied. But either way, regardless of what education system or format curriculum essentially that we're using, the goal is to get our learners to a point where they are ready to progress. Okay.
Yeah.
So we want them to be able to progress onto either education, so further education or training mm-hmm. or employment. The biggest focus for Youth Reach, so if you were to kind of pick one over the other, the main focus for Youth Reach would be around supporting our learners onto further education, you know, and employment kind of comes second. That will very much depend on the cohort in the centre on any given year. You know yourself, like you could have a group of 10 or 15 young people who are ready to finish in a given year. One year, 12 of them might be going on to further education and 3 onto an employment. The other year, it could be the complete opposite. And that's just about what they want, you know, and what they want to progress on to. But there's a huge focus during the program on that progression pathway. So on making sure that they have a plan, that they're ready for the next stage when they finish with us, you know. So if that's going to be going on to PLC or to further education or an apprenticeship, for example, that they're ready for that, that they know what to do, how to apply.
Yeah.
We support them in all of that. You know, how to apply for funding if they need to, or grants and all sorts of things. We'll make sure that they know everything they need to do. So that will be done usually through, say, an advocate. So a lot of the centres will have a youth reach advocate or career guidance counsellor, or indeed it will just be a career guidance counsellor. So, you know, but that is supported in the centres across the country in terms of making sure that our learners have a path and they have a plan, you know. So I suppose the thing to remember, being on a Youth Reach programme, unless, and there's literally only, I think, 2 centres in the country that offer the full Leaving Cert. So otherwise, it's going to be either QQI Level 4 or Leaving Cert Applied that they're going to get at that level. So what that will mean for them is that they will need to go on, if they want to go on to further education and on to university, for example, they will need to do a PLC first. But look, I mean, that's not a bad thing at all. Like, our PLCs are amazing all around the country. Like,
yeah,
we've fantastic
yeah.
PLCs and training centres and everything that are offering, say, really, really good Level 5 courses. And that has just improved year on year on year, you know, the amount of choice that there is there for young people to be able to progress on and do their Level 5. And then lots of them will go on then to third level after that, you know. And we've had students, as I know would be the case across the centres all over the country, we've had students go straight into, say, a Level 5 access programme with a view to definitely going on to do their degree after that. you know, and of course now the joy is that there are so many more opportunities in the apprenticeship stream as well, which is just fantastic. Like that's literally exploding now, you know, whereas, you know, even 5 or 6 years ago, it was always a case of, well, it'd be great to be going on to apprenticeship now, but they're hard to get, you know, yourself. Yeah. Whereas very different now, so much work going on in that area, you know, so it just means that there are so many more real opportunities for our learners when they finish a youth reach. One of the things that we would always explain, say to a young person, or indeed maybe to their parents or a guardian or somebody who might be coming in with them if they're under 18 when they apply, is that coming to youth reach, it's just a different way of achieving your education, you know. It's not going to stop you doing anything. It might add on a little bit of time, but that's never a bad thing, you know, especially not in Ireland. Like, I mean, really, like our young people finish school. It's young, like they're young when they finish. You know, there's no harm in adding another year on there, just even from terms of personal and social development, you know, it's actually a really good thing. And I know even from the mainstream schools, there's a huge push and a real encouragement for young people to go on and do a PLC. Like, unless they're 100% dead set on what they want to do at third level, there's an awful lot more acceptance now that, you know, there's lots of other things you can do. And further ed and everything now, of course, is all on, all information is you can get it over the CAO and everything. So it's just being more mainstreamed, which I think is really good for youth reach. It'll mean now going forward that our young people won't feel, you know, kind of different. They won't feel like they've, you know, their real alternative and they need to find the other route. They'll just be progressing on like anyone else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really positive. Well, yeah, it just means that, you know, I mean, without a program like Youth Reach, like these young people have nowhere to go.
No,
do you know what I mean? There isn't anything else for them. So if they don't finish school, and let's face it, like coming out of school without completing your education and going out and getting a job is not easy anymore, you know? Like it's not, like lots of young people will be able to, you know, they'll be able to pick up a bit of work here or a bit of work there, and, you know, but in terms of actually having something that they can rely on and a career and providing themselves with a good income and a future, it's not as straightforward to say, ah, sure, you know, if you finish school at 15, you'll be grand, you can just go and get a job, you know. it just isn't, it's just not like that anymore. And actually, like, one of the things that I've seen is that the young people themselves understand that now. Do you know what I mean? Like, because sometimes we'll have a young person coming to us who, you know, went as far, completed their junior cert, and kind of had this idea in their head, well, I've done my bit now, I don't really want to do anymore, you know. And they might have had a part-time job or two, and, you know, and then either they themselves or maybe a parent has said, look, this isn't really happening, you're not really getting anywhere with this, you know, because it is hard to get a good job when you're young and inexperienced and you haven't completed your education, you know. So sometimes we'll get a young person who's coming back to us specifically for that reason, because they're like, look, you know, I never liked school, I don't really want to be in school, but I kind of now understand that I'm going to need more education if I want to be able to do anything, basically, you know. And I think the beauty of Youth Reach is that we can work with that young person in a way that's going to suit them a bit better. I think oftentimes in a situation like that, even the fact that we can work with them much more as young adults and adults as opposed to children in a school, even that tends to suit them better, you know, especially if they feel, oh, you know, I don't want to be in school, or I feel like I'm treated like a kid all the time, you know, and like they are kids, like they're supposed to be treated like, you know, but that's okay too. But you know, I mean, you'll always have a few who they struggle with that, you know, but when they come to us, they don't have that sense anymore. They feel like they're in a more adult environment. You know, we're very much working with them to support them in their education, as opposed to, you know, this is what you have to do. And so that tends to suit them a bit better.
So thanks so much for talking to me today, Louise. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome, Paula. And thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.